Dear people of God, I now invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're reading from 1st Epistle of John, the first four verses of that beautiful epistle. Heed the wisdom of our Lord. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. Please remain standing for a quick prayer. Gracious Father, Almighty Lord, what a privilege it is to open your words of wisdom and be fed directly from it. Lord, we are thankful for those words revealed and recorded for us for all our generations. Lord, we pray that in spite of this servant, that thou would be opening the hearts of this people to open their ears and their hearts to heed the wisdom from thy word. We are thankful for this opportunity, and we pray that thou would be avoiding any distractions and would keep our minds sharp and attentive to the gospel of your kingdom. Thus we pray in the name of our merciful Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we begin examining this passage this morning, let me begin with a few questions for you, just for you to think about. How would you convince someone to buy something? How do you prove that someone needs a specific product? And I know that if you work with sales, you're very familiar with those questions. And in fact, that is your everyday duty, to prove people around you that your product is that long-awaited solution for problems that they didn't even know they had. And this is so true about credit card salesmen. Those guys just want to catch you no matter what. The way they talk about the rewards sounds just so convincing. And they mention discounts, cashback, travel miles, and all that with no annual fee. Yeah. Sometimes all you can think is, that's just too good to be true. Well, a couple years ago, I was sharing a meal with two good friends of mine. Let's call them Jerry and Paul, just for practicality. The name's been altered. But at a certain point, Jerry asked our common friend, Paul, the following question. Paul, have you considered getting a credit card? Well, Paul promptly responded, no, Jerry, I don't need a credit card. Well, so Jerry began listing the several reasons why he thought Paul needed that credit card, how he would benefit from getting that credit card. So he said things like, come on, Paul. Don't you want to build your credit score? No, Jerry, I'm not too concerned about that. So what if you want to get a loan to buy a house in the future? And the conversation goes on, and at a certain point, Paul says, Jerry, tell me something. What are you getting if I'm approved for that credit card? You know, Paul, there's a $50 bonus that I get for every approved referral. come on, Jerry, say no more. I don't need a credit card. I'm not concerned about my credit score. I'm not applying for that. Okay, no feelings hurt. We just moved to a different subject, and that's how much as I witnessed of their discussion about credit cards. But about a week after that, I was at work with Paul, just the two of us, that same Paul who had just refused to get the credit card. And we were there talking, and then at a certain point, Paul asked me the following question. Hey, Lucas, have you considered getting a credit card? Do you see what happened there? Jerry somehow convinced Paul. There was something about that conversation they had, or perhaps a further one that I haven't heard. Something made Paul change his mind. He reconsidered and he realized that somehow he needed the benefits of that credit card. Oh, and Jerry got his $50 bonus. You know, this morning, John the Apostle has a great deal. But that's a deal that's infinitely better than any other. A deal that's infinitely better. Although he's not trying to sell you a product, he's actually giving something away to anyone who receives it. Yeah, he's not trying to sell you a product. He's actually sharing a word with you, so you may receive it. But why is this such a big deal? Why do you need to receive this word? Well, let's talk about the benefits, so you may realize your need. Perhaps there are problems that you didn't even know you had. So my desire for you this morning, in summary, is that you receive the word and share the benefits. Receive the word of God and share the benefits. And the first benefit that I'd like us to see this morning is the benefit of eternal life. Receive the word and share eternal life. But how does it work? Well, let's see that from our passage. Going back to the first verse of our passage, and I'll read it again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Well, if you're familiar with the New Testament, which I'm sure most of you are, you're aware of the similarity that exists between the opening of this letter of John and the opening of the Gospel of John. The very first verse of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So clearly, he's talking here about Jesus. Jesus is this Logos, the Word, the wisdom of God. He's God's creative power. Look at Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Wait a minute. Does it mean that Jesus Christ was present in creation? That Jesus, who died on the cross, was there in creation? Yeah, he was, most definitely. And the whole Trinity is involved in creating the world. Not only God the Father, but the Son and the Spirit as well. If you see the very first three verses of the book of Genesis, the first three verses of your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So that's a beautiful picture of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in perfect harmony, bringing our world to life. God the Son, which is the very Word of God, He is the means of creating all things from nothing. Christ was present when humanity was created also. A few verses ahead in Genesis, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Did he just say, "Let us"? Us who? Who is God talking to here? Well, again, that's the Holy Trinity in common accord exercising divine creativity. God is talking to Himself. Father, Son, and Spirit participate in the creation of humankind as well. And because Christ is truly God, along with the Father and the Spirit, He has life in Himself and has power to create from nothing. He was from the beginning, and without Him, nothing was made. This is why John the Apostle calls Him in this letter, the Word of Life, in the end of verse 1. He is that very, "Let there be light," that Word of power that made all things, true God of true God, and the Author of life. And that's beautiful, and that's awesome. However, we know what happened shortly after creation. We know that our first father's disobedience brought death into this world. Romans 5, verse 12, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And you see the effects of sin every day around you. You see how people couldn't care less for each other. Your life, your problems. You see kids from early age rebelling and lying to their parents. You see men forsaking their wives to follow after younger girls. You see how the Western world pretends we live in a world of perfect harmony while wars are blowing out every day in the Middle East. And even worse than that, you see that you could be engaged in any of those crimes. If not for God, who's restraining our evil impulses each and every hour. Well, you may be thinking, I'm better than that. I would never do those things. But you can't fool even your own conscience. You may say, "I never killed." But you have your own list of people that you wish were never born. You may say, "I never committed adultery." But you actually like it when that lustful ad pops up on your phone screen. Friends, if you're not sinning right now, that's only for God's grace. In fact, we're all worthy of the death we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve. This is our natural state since birth. Look at the words of David in Psalm 51, verse 5. David, who was the king according to God's heart. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Do you think he said that out of false humility? That's not so. He said it because he understood very well who he was in comparison to the holiness of God. And the same applies to me, and the same applies to you in our original state, that is, as you were born. Your vitals may seem okay, but you're really dead inside. Let me try to explain that. You may have seen at some point in your life a chicken running around even after having its head cut off. Well, you know there's no hope for that bird. It's dead, for all effects. Yet it runs desperately and out of control. This is just who we are apart from God. You may think you can run and save yourself, but really, you don't have much time left in this life. You need your head. You need Jesus Christ, or it'll be just as good as a helpless dead chicken running around. So perhaps your problem is a little bigger than you thought. You may be in that very situation right now, aimlessly wandering around out of your mind and thinking you're saving your life, but your life's already gone. And these are just useless efforts of a headless chicken. However, let's go ahead to verse 2 from our passage this morning. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. There is hope. Christ was made manifest to us. Jesus Christ, that same Word of God, the Son of God, of the same substance as God, He did humble Himself and walked among us, walked among sinners, and made Himself to be sin. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, Christ indeed suffered from all the effects of sin. Christ was doubted by His own family, rejected by His own people, betrayed by His own disciple, falsely accused by His own religion, condemned by His governor, tortured by the soldiers, mocked by the criminals, abandoned by the Father, and finally, killed for your sake. But we know this is not how the story ends. You know that it was not possible for Him to be held by the pangs of death. You know that His soul was not abandoned in the grave. And you know that the Holy One could not see corruption. And you too, my friends, if you are in Christ this morning, you are no longer bound to the curse of the sin of Adam. Romans 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So if through the word of the serpent, which is Satan, you were born as dead and could expect nothing but your final death, now through the word of God, which is Christ, you are reborn unto resurrection and look forward to your eternal and abundant life. Jesus Christ gave you life in the creation. Jesus Christ gave up His life on the cross. And Jesus Christ, the Word of God, gives you eternal life in His resurrection. So receive the Word and share eternal life. Now, note that there is an aspect of sharing involved. The eternal life that you receive doesn't belong to you alone. There are people from every corner of the earth sharing that same life with you right now. This is precisely why we are gathered here today. And that's the second benefit that we see from our passage this morning. Fellowship. Receive the word and share true fellowship. Let's go back to verse 3 from our passage. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's begin giving a closer look at the second half of this verse. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that is simply to say, true fellowship starts with being right with God. However, how is it that we can have fellowship with God? Many people out there will tell you that if there was such a being as God, He would have nothing to do with humanity. But you know, this can't be so. Look at the nature. Who set up the laws of nature? And who keeps them in place? How do you know those laws will be there tomorrow? Look at humanity. Who gave us such a sense of justice? And more than that, why is it still in place? How come everyone knows it's wrong to kill? Look at yourself. Who put in you a conscience that longs for eternity? And not only so, but even makes you feel proud for your scores and guilty for your mistakes. You know there is a supreme God, and you know that we have everything to do with Him. And listen, there can be no neutrality in relation to Him. Although in Adam, we were once alienated from God. Ephesians 2 verse 12, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But then look at the following couple of verses. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. So yeah, it's true that God couldn't stand us because of our sins. But Christ did make himself sin for us. He paid our penalty, so making us right with God. Now, see that in order for him to pay the penalty for man's sins, he had to be made man. The equation is quite simple. Man sinned, man had to pay the penalty. So Christ assumed human nature along with his divine nature, then his sacrifice wouldn't be only perfect, but also applicable to us. So through the act of righteousness of one man, all men could be justified. Look back at verse 1 in our passage, when the apostle says, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Don't get me wrong, I'm not speaking of some kind of hybrid creature, some ghost wandering around, or some kind of fallen angel. The apostle is talking of an actual physical body. And part of Christ's humiliation was to live in a real human body like ours. So when he fasted, he was really hungry. When he prayed late at night, he felt really sleepy. When he was in agony, he sweat real blood. And when he was on the cross, his body suffered real death. St. John, who wrote this letter, was a part of the innermost circle among Christ's disciples. So he knew what he was talking about. He heard the sermons. He saw the miracles. He even saw the transfiguration. He is John, the disciple that Christ loved. He who was during that Last Supper leaning on his chest. And what a beautiful picture. What a friendship. What an affinity. What a reliance. Can you imagine being so close to your Savior that you can actually hear his heartbeat? Well, in fact, you can be as close to Christ as the disciple that he loved. Or don't you remember what Christ prayed to the Father concerning you? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. So united to Christ, you can even now confidently lean on Christ's chest, spiritually and truly. Trust him, rely on him, make him your best friend. Do not trust in your own self, but lean on Christ's chest, for in him you have true fellowship. Now, you may have noticed from the passage I just read from John 17, Christ also prayed for the unity of his followers. You may be thinking, are you telling me that I have to attend church with all those hypocrites? Well, yeah. Actually, it's not my own idea. But the truth is, if you say you love Christ, but you can't stand his bride, well, that's offensive. Christ shed his blood for his church. And so often you think, why would God have saved so-and-so? Do you understand how serious this is? Your brothers and sisters here were considered worthy of Christ's blood upon them. And who are you and I to tell Christ whom to die for? So instead of telling Christ whom to save, learn from him how and whom to love. I know this is not easy. Christ's love is sacrificial, and so is ours to be. But don't be discouraged. Instead, encourage and be encouraged by one another. So do have fellowship with the saints. Have fellowship with us. For indeed, your fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ restored your fellowship with God so you could share true fellowship with us. So receive the word and share true fellowship. Let's go now to verse 4 in our passage. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Receive the word and share full joy. But what is this joy? Let's look at St. John's life. Perhaps we find something there. John the Apostle, he saw his master contradicted and blasphemed. He saw whole towns reject the Messiah. He saw Christ be betrayed. He saw him being bound and beaten. He was an eyewitness to the crucifixion. And not only that, he heard Jesus speak directly unto him from the cross, telling him to take care of his own mother. As an apostle, he suffered fierce persecution in Jerusalem with his fellows. He was there when his very brother James became the first apostle to be martyred. And so he saw one by one being persecuted and killed in the most terrible ways until he was the only apostle left. And finally, when he was well advanced in age, he was taken away from his loved ones and is exiled as a prisoner in the Isle of Patmos, and we're not sure how long he stayed there. Well, I'm sure your future plans tend to sound much more successful than this. And who would really desire to suffer that much? John the Apostle didn't die early in an extraordinary way as a martyr, but he lived this long-term martyrdom. Still, this man is the man writing this letter, that your joy may be full. What's happening? Now, if Christ's sacrifice was something mythical or made up, do you think men like John would risk their freedom and even their lives in this manner? If Christ's sacrifice wasn't real and literal, how insane would John and the apostles and the multitude of church martyrs be? And if he had not resurrected truly and historically, what would these men's sacrifices have profited them? What would have been their hope? If we look back to verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. So what does he mean by life was manifested? Christ's ministry was fairly public. He was not hiding in a place. He was walking among the people, going where people were. He performed several of his miracles in front of everybody, so anyone could see and attest that Christ did wonders, not tricks. Now, life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. Again, John knew what he was talking about. John was an eyewitness, and he testifies, he bears witness of what he saw. He's using this kind of legal language here, so we understand he has a real point to prove. Similarly, Paul defends Christ's resurrection by saying this to the Corinthians. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. That's about Christ's resurrection. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. What Paul is saying here is, if anyone still doubts, go ask around. Go talk to the witnesses. They've seen it. Brothers and sisters, the apostles and the early church believed the veracity of the death and resurrection of Christ. And so are we to do. Because his resurrection is our final source of joy. It is in his resurrection that we can have full joy. So if you want to understand St. John's full joy, if you want to know how the apostles could be so glad to suffer for the sake of Christ, if you want to be able to endure terrible things and still remain faithful as the early church martyrs did, set your eyes upon eternity. Set your eyes upon his resurrection. Because if you rely on anything earthly, it's but vanity. There is nothing that satisfies as eternity with Christ. Revelation 21, a couple verses there. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He does make all things new. And if you're in Christ this morning, you already share in that. You already have a new heart. If you have received the word of God, you already share in this joy, in this blessedness. Yes, it will be fuller in eternity, but you can start enjoying his presence even now on earth. Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or perhaps more literally, it would be something like, Oh, had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So part of your comfort is in the fact that he is in control even now. That he is with you always even unto the end of the world. So don't think that this life is only about thorns and thistles, because not even sin is capable of stopping our Lord from blessing us with rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, from filling our hearts with food and gladness. It is true that you're still in the flesh. It is true you're still in the world, and you still have your daily struggles. You don't pray as you should. Yeah, you don't worship as you should. You don't obey as you should. And you don't even believe as you should. But you will. He who makes all things new will make you whole. And you will glorify him. And you will worship him. And you will please him. And you will enjoy him. And you will see him. And you will abide with him. So when you feel discouraged, look forward to your hope. When you feel pain, look forward to your resurrection. When you see injustice, look forward to his judgment. When you face grief and sorrow, look forward to eternity with Christ. Look forward to your joy. This is your only comfort. There is no money, there is no power, no knowledge, there is no feeling that can give you such satisfaction. There is the Word, and the Word only. So receive the Word and share full joy. Well, eternal life, true fellowship, full joy, in countless other benefits. But you know, let me talk about a benefit that you never get from any bank. If life was to be compared to a credit card, then Christ paid the bill once and for all. Yeah, the price is paid. The price of blood, the price of death. And you don't have to spend a single penny. And that's great, because you'd never be able to pay this bill. You could spend 1,000 lifetimes working, you would still not be able to pay this price. But he did it for you. Once in history, Christ paid the price for the sins of all history. And you're called to only believe. You're just called to trust him. If this morning you are already in Christ, rest assured in his death and resurrection. He paid it for you. It is finished. If you have received the word, share the benefits. Enjoy them. Also, apply yourself to them. You have received eternal life. So live. You are not bound anymore to the former passions of the old man. You may overcome your sins in the power of the Word of God. You have received true fellowship. So, do not neglect your church family. Corporate worship is a balm for your soul. You have received full joy. So be fully satisfied in the Lord. Be always thankful, even through tribulation. Do not contend with your God. You have received the benefits, so apply yourself to them. After all, how would one get the benefits without continually using the credit card? Now, if this offer is new to you, or if you're not sure if you're in Christ, or you just haven't considered those things yet, I ask that you please do. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, brings you from death unto eternal life. So repent and be released today from your sin, once and for all, and from the pangs of death. The Word of God brings you from broken relationships unto true fellowship. So believe and be released from eternal enmity with God. The Word of God brings you from mourning to full joy. Trust and be released from that hopelessness and have your tears wiped away. Receive the word. Now, finally, you may be thinking, doesn't it sound just too good to be true? Okay, you can put it that way. I'm fine with it. Although, this is the gospel message. Yeah, it does sound kind of too good to be true. But really, it's only good because Christ is true. It's only good because Christ is true God and true man in true history. So don't let this opportunity pass. If you haven't received the word yet, if you haven't received Christ yet, if you still have questions, I'll be glad to talk to you after service and your elder as well, any of them. And I'm sure any other church members would be too. Only don't let this opportunity pass. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But you don't know how much time you have left. So receive the word and share eternal life. Receive the word and share true fellowship. Receive the word and share full joy. Please pray with me. Glorious Father in heaven, what a precious passage from Scripture. What a hope. What a love. What a complete joy we find in you and in your gospel. Lord, we are thankful for this, and we pray that this word would stick to our minds, and that thy Spirit would keep applying this word to our hearts as we leave here this morning. And if there is anyone who knows not thy word yet, we pray that thou prepare fertile grounds for this truth to bear fruit. Lord, make this call effective in the hearts of thy chosen ones. And be pleased to save whosoever will call upon thy precious name. Thus we pray in the name and power of Jesus Christ, our head and King forever. Amen.